قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of remembrance of God based on the sermon number 222 of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we said that remembrance of God is something that a person does at different levels. One of those levels is remembering of God, remembrance of God in your actions. And we say that sometimes a person might make mistakes. That means they do a sin or maybe some actions that are not correct. And because of that, a person does not remember God at that level. When a person is committing a sin at that level, he is not remembering God. He is only attentive to himself and his desires. So a person now needs to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say that Allah has a sunnah, that sunnah of afu. A sunnah means it's a principle, an ingrained principle in the universe and in the way he has created everything, that he forgives, you can say covers your faults, and he overlooks them. So this happens if a person truly pays attention to God and really sincerely repents, then those effects of remembrance of God are reinstated into his soul, and that is a sign of God's mercy and his kindness and love towards the creation.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, there's a lot to discuss about God's forgiveness and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala transforms the evil effects of bad actions, of not remembering God in your actions, into positive things. How does he do that? That is something beautiful in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws our attention towards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أولئك يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات. Those people who truly repent towards Allah, those who take steps and are sincere and make an intention not to repeat those mistakes, Allah says, those are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changes their evil actions into good actions. You know, how much hope this verse of the Quran gives you. Imagine when you look back at your life and you see those dark moments when you, or when all of us, of course, when I say you, I'm addressing myself also, when you committed those mistakes and those sins, right? When you look at yourself and you see them, you feel, what can I give Allah? Like, who am I? Like, I'm in a very bad state. But then this verse reverberates into your existence and you remember that God is the one who transforms those evil deeds into good deeds. That means now, in place of those evil deeds, there is a good deed. Imagine the mercy of God. But how does this happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds, they push away, or rather they drive off evil deeds. That means those evil deeds will go away, and in their place, good deeds will come. And, you know, all those weeds that have grown on the surface of your heart will slowly be uprooted, and in the place of those weeds, flowers will grow. This is the promise of God. So if you pay attention to this, you can imagine the transforming effect there is. And a person really needs to struggle and work hard so that he falls into the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Mustaqim is the Sirat al-Dhikr, is that the path of remembering God. How do you fall into this path, inshallah? We'll discuss after the break.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio.
Now, when we say that we fall into the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it means that you fall into the path of remembering God. Sirat, basically, it means a path which kind of swallows you, like it takes you in. When you enter that path, you are there. Like, just imagine, for example, have you seen those water theme parks? They have got those huge slides. Sometimes they take you in like in a circle. They're circular in shape. You enter inside and you go straight to your destination. Yeah, so it's like that. Like Sirat is something like that. When you enter inside it, it just takes you in. So how do you enter into Siratul Mustaqim? Is when you constantly strive with your actions to drive your soul towards attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then once you enter into that path of light, you then go straight. But unfortunately, there are some who are in Siratul Jahim. That means because of constantly not remembering God, constantly being sinful in their actions, they enter into that, you know, that kind of slide, rather, which takes them straight to hell. And this is a big problem that we need to really seek protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You just listened to the program Gate of Knowledge on Iran Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We offer our condolences to Imam Mahdi Jalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif for the demise anniversary of his mother, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullah alayha. I want to mention something about a particular ziyarah of the lady that is narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. I am using a very early source, and that is Tahzib al-Ahkam by Shaykh Tusi rahmatullah alayhi, one of our four major collections of hadith is Tahzib al-Ahkam by Shaykh Tusi rahmatullah alayhi. And as you know, Shaykh Tusi is Shaykh al-Ta'ifa, is one of our greatest scholars, and he had a speciality, expertise in the field of hadith, in the field of fiqh, in the field of usulul fiqh, in the field of tafsir, in many different fields. He's very respected and very a special scholar. So he quotes in volume 6, page 10, this ziyara of Lady Fatima. The narrator says, حدثنا أبو جعفر عليه السلام ذات يوم. Imam Baqir عليه السلام one day told us, إذا سرت إلى قبر جدتك فاطمة. The narrator of hadith himself was a Sayyid and was a progeny of the Prophet. So Imam Baqir alayhi salam told him that if you go to the grave of your grandmother, Lady Fatima, faqul, say this. So this is what Imam Baqir alayhi salam taught him, and it's registered, and alhamdulillah you have it also in Mafatih, in some other books. فَقُلْ يَا مُمْتَحَنَ اِمْتَحَنَكِ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَخْلُقَكِ. O the one who has been tested, who has been tried, who has been examined. مُمْتَحَنَ. مُمْتَحِن is the one who examines. Mumtahana is a lady. It can be mumtahan for a man or mumtahana for a woman who is examined, who is tested, who is tried. Ya mumtahana. Just this by itself shows that Lady Fatima Salamullah alayha went through a challenging life. She had a challenging life. You know, when you want to have very high position, you have to expect challenges. You have to expect serious tests. There is no way to have very high rank without serious tests. Ibrahim alayhi salam was very seriously tested. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. He was tested very severely. You know some of his tests. Some of the tests maybe we don't know. But just imagine the test of being asked to offer his son that was long waited for, to slaughter him by his own hand. It's a big test. You know, it's not an easy test for someone like Abraham, who is full of love for people and now has this innocent and mu'min son, that when he says, Ya bunayya inni ara fil manam anni azbahuk, he says, Ya abatif alma tu'umar satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. Such a son, which is so understanding, so obedient, so patient, so submissive. It's very difficult to be able to slaughter him. But when he realized that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from him, he did it. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to test him. Allah didn't want him to actually do it, as you know. And Allah ransomed Ismail. So, you have to go through big tests and challenges so that you would be able to reach high levels. Lady Fatima was very highly, severely tested. To the extent that we start her ziyarah with saying, Ya Mumtahana, or the one who has been tested, as if this is the most outstanding thing that we remember about her, that she went through suffering. Her life was very short, but with great suffering. When was she tested? Of course, she was tested during her life. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested her, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala need to test someone after Allah creates that person? Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can examine a person even before that person is actually born? Me and you cannot examine something unless that comes to this world. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge doesn't make difference, you know, for him to be something about future or something about present or past. So even before lady was born into this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew very well what would be the response of the lady. So Imam Baqir says, say this way, امتحنك الله الذي خلقك قبل أن يخلقك. The one who created you, tested you before creating you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in his eternal knowledge, he knows what we are going to do. For example, he knows what each of us is going to do tomorrow, what we are going to do next year, what we are going to do 10 years later if we are alive. He knows all this. In the same way, he can know what we are going to do after we are born. He knows all this. But when he knows what you are going to do in future, then he would treat you in a special way if he knows that in future you are going to pass your test. It's a very important point, inshallah, from this majlis. If you remember this point, then I would be very happy. If you remember other things, I will be happier. But at least remember this point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have a special, extra, additional favor upon his servant or servants if he knows that in future they are going to do good things. They are going to be loyal, they are going to be patient, even from before he starts helping them and supporting them and praising them.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا
يعني
بازار
Many people have ideas. However, those who turn their ideas into reality are the ones who search for ways to make their ideas happen. More often than not, this occurs by joining knowledge with method. Knowledge brings competitive advantages and generates sustainable market leadership. Its tools are creativity and innovation, which are all intangible human talents. Never more than now has knowledge been so critical and significant in production and the shift towards a knowledge-based economy. Hello and welcome to another edition of Bazaar. I'm your host Alireza Ikhtiyarzadeh, and this week we are going to explore the central role science and technology parks play in complementing the knowledge-based production ecosystem. We wanted to see how the government is shifting towards a knowledge-based economy, and plus we wanted to understand why tech parks are so critical to industry development and the national economy. So let's get started. To better understand the country's knowledge-based ecosystem, we visited an event at Semnan Science and Technology Park where we could get some answers. Science and technology parks are where startups and innovative teams can operate in one geographical location. These areas provide diverse services and facilities to companies that fit the criteria. We were able to catch up with a couple companies that operate out of this park. One of these companies specializes in producing advanced machines used in mining. This company is one of only a handful that has managed to indigenize these previously imported products. Another company we ran into while at the event specializes in making hardware and software with artificial intelligence. Events like the one we visited helped braid together and link companies, investors, and infrastructures with the necessary resources to complete projects. These components all make up the various parts of the knowledge-based ecosystem. But we also wanted to know how science and tech parks operate and why they are attractive to businesses. One of the advantages of these parks is that it's a space where crucial resources are offered. These places are a focal point for serving knowledge-based companies producing advanced specialized products needed in the domestic market. Science and technology parks also serve as a launching pad toward the international arena. We spoke with a park official who helped shed more light on this issue.
There are four scenarios of which foreign companies could have the opportunity to reside in Samnan Science and Technology Park. Well, the first scenario will be the execution of soft landing programs between the two countries, which gives the foreign companies an opportunity to get familiar with the host country's market. Well, the second scenario will be holding joint events, including joint startup events, fairs, and similar events, which could help them get familiar with each other. And the other scenario, or the third way that a company could have the chance to come to our park, will be to find and carry out joint projects with our companies, and finally sharing the interests. The fourth scenario will be holding joint innovation tours, which gives them, which gives the companies an opportunity to get familiar with how you know innovation ideas are being implemented in other countries.
These parks are essential in filling a gap in the tech innovation ecosystem, providing monetary resources and attracting investments. These establishments also join investors with particular companies and projects. They offer numerous unique services such as facilitating visa processes, offering financial assistance such as soft loans or even special incentives under free trade zones like tax exemptions. And it doesn't stop there. This park offers so much more to investors.
The other solution or the other way that could attract foreign investors will be to define BOT models, which means they have to introduce projects and within the framework of our protocols. And once it is, it has been approved, they can operate the project for a while. This includes mainly long-term projects. Particularly, and I shall have to tell you that Samnan Science and Technology Park is very interested in projects in the fields of artificial intelligence, IT, ICT, IoT, and virtual reality. And we could help these companies. And once they have, once they build it and then operate it, they could transfer it to our park.
Most tech parks, such as this one, are active in the international sphere and collaborate with other domestic tech parks. Furthermore, these areas function as export hubs. Therefore, one of their main activities is boosting and supplying domestic products to this end. The government has placed special attention on knowledge-based companies while implementing new approaches to support tech parks and their businesses. Some of these initiatives aim to remove obstacles along the path of development of these companies. Other activities involve giving resources to executive branches to further develop the ecosystem of innovation and technology nationwide. Along these lines, the Vice Presidency for Science and Technology has implemented a series of activities. This includes investing some $1.4 billion towards financial services. The government has also created a strategic technology development headquarters. It is tasked with implementing 400,000 tech projects and 150 commercialization projects. But that's not all. The government has also established 65 innovation centers and dozens more accelerators to support the developing entrepreneurship ecosystem. Currently, there are well over 7,000 knowledge-based companies scattered across the nation. These enterprises offer services and products in numerous industries. Many are active in biotech, computer software, agriculture, food, chemical tech, aircraft maintenance, steel, gas, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals, just to name a few. According to government figures, the knowledge-based ecosystem accounts for more than 3% of the country's gross domestic product. Moreover, the share of knowledge firms in the country's GDP in 2019 exceeded $34 billion and witnessed a 450% growth since then. That's all according to the Vice President for Science and Technology, Soreno Satori. Now it's time for me to take a little break here and hand it over to my good friend out in the field who's prepared a report for us.
In ancient Iran, felt was already used in the production of numerous kinds of clothing, bed clothes, floor carpets, and different kinds of sacks. In fact, the Iranian world may have been an important center for the development of felt technology. In the modern world today, felt or namat has found its way to industries of all kinds in various forms.
You just can't imagine how crowded this place is. Whenever I want to talk on the phone, I have to find a sign-up place to be able to talk to you. It's really crazy. God, in today's chaotic society, stress is an issue that many of us suffer from every day. But what matters most is trying to find distress sources and try to find effective solutions. For this reason, today I'm here to tell you that I finally found a startup, a new innovative company that has finally found a solution to this disastrous problem. I won't tell you any further. Let's just go and check it out.
Felt, or so-called namat, is the acoustic solution for rowdy places to absorb and decrease undesirable noises. The aim is to provide sound serenity and to improve physical, mental, and psychological health. Namat Studio's scope of work is based on designing and manufacturing products. Recently, it has also played a significant role in different projects like some innovation centers in Asia and Africa. This company has focused on designing and building acoustic products. Generally in Iran, there is no specific competitor in this field. However, there are some groups in America and Northern Europe that are engaged with felt.
If I want to tell you about a history about how our company established, it goes back to 3 years ago when Diva was chosen to renovate the innovation factory of Iran, that was the biggest one in the time. And the designer tried to make the offices and they tried to design a place that the people be comfortable, have a good place to work. That's why we understand that we have some advantages and disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is about the sound pollution that we had in the this area, that places were noisy and the employees didn't like that. That's why we try to use special materials for control this sound pollution. And we reached the felt material and we try to use this material.
Designing acoustic and movable working stations with the aim of recycling old products and reuse them in different functions. What is worth noticing about this business is the fact that the problem-solution method is based upon three WH questions: why, how, and what. Why is to define the problem. How is the process towards the solution. And what is the final product and prototype. These acoustic solutions were combined with architecture in various parts of the space and played the role in sound insulation and creating a silent space.
All right, now I want to walk you through some of the major products that are made of felt. The first piece we have here is an artwork that is made of wool felt that acts as a sound-absorbing material, not only as an aesthetic material that you can put it in your home place, but also as a sound-absorbing material. There is a phone booth. If I get inside, I can feel the private space and how the atmosphere really changes. It improves the acoustic vibes and reduces the reverberation when I get inside. And there's this whole thing, we call it desk divider. It's actually one of the main products in this company. People and employees put it in their on their desk to divide their own workplace with the person right next to them.
We have three different kind of material that we use on our works that absorb undesirable sounds, which are wool panels, or the other name is felt, and in Persian we say namat, and thermofelt and carpet. And the felt are in two kind of industrial felt and the natural felt. Natural felt is made by wools, and industrial material is made by a process by the battles and pet materials. They have different color patterns and thicknesses. The thicknesses are from 3 millimeter to 50 millimeter. And about the thermofelt, we have this material that we can use for more absorption. It has three kind of material with polyester, jeans, and heavy traffic, and it's very good for absorbing. And the last one is the carpet that is a heavy traffic that we use in heavy traffic places such as the offices, and it can be cleaned very easy by the vacuum cleaner.
As I mentioned earlier, this idea was created based on the concept of recreating, recycling, and revitalizing the surrounding substances and generalizing this idea to the upcoming products with different potentials. Such small-scale products are intended to improve the mental and physical health of users. And finally, creating a comfortable, inviting atmosphere.
Just like this linear lighting, almost everything here is made of felt. Based on environmental psychology, this linear lighting has been created in a way to provide maximum visual and acoustic comfort in the workplace, especially a co-working space like this. This company, Namad Startup, has been trying to promote sustainability and also take steps towards industrialization. Among all the products here, there were so many things, but I decided to choose felt laptop case to carry my laptop with me wherever I go. So it's not about the ideas, it's about making the ideas happen. I've been Sarah Dema.
There is so much more that can be said about the country's knowledge-based production and activities, so before we go, let's look at a couple of developments in this area. Most of us are familiar with vitamin supplements. However, some vitamins need to be injected, which can be a hassle. Now, a knowledge-based company has produced an oral form of one of these vitamins, saving many of us from the pain of sticking needles. This pharmaceutical company has produced the first oral form of a vitamin B complex that was typically only found in an injectable form. This company also operates out of Pardis Science and Technology Park. It is also one of the first and largest knowledge-based companies. It might be interesting to know that this company mainly produces raw materials such as probiotic products needed in the pharma industry. Such productions have saved the country millions on imports so far. Knowledge-based productions are driven by scientific discoveries, and Iranian scientists produce roughly 2% of the world's scientific articles. That's according to the Minister of Science, Research and Technology. Mohammad Ali Zulfigol says Iran on average registers around 70,000 scientific articles and international journals each year. He says Iran is now globally ranked 15th for the number of scientific papers it produces. Zulfigol noted the quality ranking of Iranian articles in the top 10 fields like technology and engineering. The minister highlighted that the nation ranks 5th in nanotechnology publications as well. The official further added that those publishing academic articles also work in knowledge-based companies, helping produce quality products in the competitive field. And with that, we come to the end of this segment. You can contact us with your thoughts and comments via email. And don't forget, you can also send us topics you're interested in. Thank you for tuning in and join us next week, same time, for another edition of Bazaar. It's bye for now. Until then.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the contents and commentaries of chapter Qasas, the 28th chapter of the Holy Quran. Dear listeners, as you were with us, we were discussing the story of Prophet Moses in the beginning verses of Surah Qasas. We have reached the 5th and 6th verses of this chapter. Now let's listen to these verses.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَّمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ
And we wanted to confer favor upon those who were oppressed in the land and make them leaders and make them inheritors.
وَنُمَكِّنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَنُرِيَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَحْذَرُونَ
And establish them in the land and show Pharaoh and his minister Haman and their soldiers through them that which they had feared.
So, dear listeners, these verses talk about the expressive and hope-giving glad tidings of the Almighty Allah to the oppressed people of all time, of all nations, of all the people, of all the generations, of the different verses at different times, and the people yet to come. وَنُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. We have intended to bestow our favor upon those who were oppressed in the earth, and to make them leaders and to make them heirs. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ. Anyway, one of the things that we haven't yet discussed is the fact of the terminology used in this verse. نُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. This Arabic term, istidaf, as you are already aware of, is derived from the word daf, which means weakness. But here, it does not mean that someone who is weak, al-lazina istudifu, it does not necessarily mean that the people who are unable, who are weak, who are not having power. But it is formed in this shape of istif'al, which means that someone who has powers, both in actuality and potentiality, but has been under serious pressure from the side of unjust, from the side of the tyrants, so that he is in weakness, he is in chains and yokes. So someone who is in the state of istilaf has been taken power from. This someone has another side, which is the tyrant side, which is the powerful side, that has intentionally tried to keep this side at a lower position. So this istidaf means that he always tries to break the chains in order to become free. This, the man or woman in the state of istidaf, he sends the oppressors away so that he can establish the right religion and justice everywhere. But at the very beginning stages, he's unable to do so. Allah has promised such a group that he will help them. He will give them the government of the earth. And this promise is not for those shiftless and coward people who are not ready even to make a shout, at least, let alone that they enter the fields of struggle and sacrifice. So the children of Israel on that day could actually become the heirs of the government of Pharaohs too, when they supported their leaders Moses. When they mobilized their forces in a single row. They completed the remaining faith that they had inherited from their grandfather Abraham, with the invitation of their prophet Moses, and they tried to wipe out the superstitions from their thought, and then they became ready to rise.
وَمَكِنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَجْرِي الْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَحْذَرُونَ.
So, dear listeners, regarding these verses, we said that they are talking about a norm and sunnah of the Almighty Allah. But the point is that there are various kinds of mustadafin in this universe. Because the verse says, نُرِيدُ أَن نَمُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا. We have intended to give favors, bestow our favors upon the ones who are in the state of being weakened by another side. I mean, that's the true translation of istidhaf. Those who are oppressed, those who had the other side keeping them weak. So we have different kinds of istidhaf, different kinds of people who are oppressed. We have ideological istidhaf, we have cultural, economical, ethical, and even political. These people are oppressed. We have even people that are politically oppressed. That which the Holy Quran has emphasized more are the political and the ethical class. Those are the main focal points of the Holy Quran. No doubt the arrogant tyrants, in order to strengthen the basis of their tyrannical policy, they at first try to mentally and culturally weaken their prey. They aim to actually weaken their prey economically, so that power and ability may not remain for them, so that they do not think about rising and taking the reign of government in their hand. In 5 different occurrences, the Holy Quran has stated that the oppressed are discussed, and they are referred to in which the words are about the believers who were under the pressure of the oppressors. And in the next episode, God willing, we'll have a look at these verses. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me. Worry ends when faith begins.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's about a couple of episodes that we have been discussing some of the jurisprudential laws related to medical issues based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And we'd like to continue our questions regarding the same issue, I mean medical issues, with you, Sheikh Javid. And let me ask you this question first. Is it permissible to abort a fertilized ovum that has implanted in the uterine wall before it turns into a clot-like structure, which normally takes 40 days to develop? And in which of the following stages is abortion not allowed? In other words, the embryo implanted in the uterine wall, the clot, the lump of flesh, the bones, before the soul enters the fetus.
Well, these are the different stages of a child's growth in her and its mother's uterus. The answer is clear. The religious authorities have not allowed getting rid of the fertilized ovum at any stage.
Okay.
So it's not permissible to terminate the fertilized ovum after it settles in the uterus, you know. And it's not permissible as well to abort the fetus at any of the stages, any of the later stages whatsoever, whether it is, for example, like a clot, like a lump of flesh, or whether that lump of flesh, which we call fetus or embryo or whatever, it has bones or it doesn't have yet. So the fertilized ovum is not permissible to be terminated or to be destroyed.
I see. Okay, and some couples have congenital blood diseases due to having abnormal genes.
Yeah.
They could transmit the disease to other or their offspring, and there is a great probability that the children would be severely affected and will suffer much throughout their lives. An example of this is hemophilia, in which even a slight injury causes severe uncontrollable bleeding, which can end in death or paralysis. Considering the fact that it is now possible to diagnose this disease in the fetus period during the first few weeks of pregnancy, is it permissible to have an abortion in such cases?
Well, if the diagnosis is definite, decisive, and if having such a baby and maintaining him or her entails great difficulty and great hardship, I mean hardship which is not normally bearable, it is in this case permissible to abort the fetus before the soul enters its body, okay? Provided that the diagnosis is definite and is decisive and there is no doubt about it. But it is an obligatory precaution to pay its blood money. The one who is directly involved in the abortion is liable for the blood money, okay? Mm-hmm. It could be the doctor. It could be, for example, the mother who takes the pills. Or maybe usually when it comes to abortion, it's not the parents. It is a doctor who assists in the abortion of the child. So if it is the doctor who usually is involved in the abortion, he is the one who is liable for the blood money, for the what we call diya in Arabic.
Yes. So doesn't it depend on the person who orders this?
No. Order is something. Okay, the person